Dear ones, with the God's help, this afternoon hour, I have desire to read out of the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5, first 16 verses. 2 Kings chapter 5, first 16 verses. In Pew Bible, that would be on 449, page 449. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is off the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do great things, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. This is how much I had desired to read this time. May the Lord bless these words upon our... There was, as we read this chapter, this portion of the chapter from the Old Testament, what happened in this time, I believe, has a lot of tie and parallel with New Testament salvation regarding that. Each one of these persons or characters we read of, whether it was Naaman, whether it was little girl, whether it was Elisha, whether it was Naaman's friends, Naaman's servants, we might find ourselves at least in one of these persons, or if not all of them. That we were in a situation in our lives that we came to deal with certain things, and as we began the reading over here, that there was this Naaman who was captain of the host of king of Syria. He was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. A respected person, accomplished, we can say. Maybe everything he wanted in his life, he was able to do. He was well respected person. There was only one thing that was not according to what he wanted, perhaps. And that was that he was a leper. He has this disease, skin disease, that was incurable at time. I don't know if cure has been found for that. I'm not familiar with much with leprosy in this time and age. But at that time, if you were a leper, you were separated, you were put away, isolated from society. And dealt with it by yourself, maybe with those that were in the same condition. And isn't this what we can testify that sin is? Incurable. Something that we cannot on our own maybe get rid of. We can't get healthy from it. We can't get healed or cured from it. We are destined for the worst. And I believe for each and every one of us, especially for those who haven't given their lives unto Jesus, you have to recognize, you have to be convinced, you have to realize that if you're not saved, you have this incurable disease called sin that you're going to have to deal with in this life. And if you don't cure yourself from it, or if you don't get cured from it, you're destined for eternal damnation. In Romans 6, at the end of the chapter, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages for sin is death. You might not feel at the moment that you have any kind of disease, or you're not headed to the right place. And that might be a problem. But if you trust this word of God, that this is truth and truth only, and if the word of God says that the wages of sin is death, this is what you can expect in your life. This is a leprosy you have, and this is something that you want to be cleaned from or healed from. And I have no doubt in my mind that this Naaman, if there was a possibility of him being cured, that he might have tried all kinds of ways. He was one of the favorite people of the king. He was valued. He was honorable. I am sure that something has to be tried in his life to try to get him rid of the leprosy. But wasn't until this little girl, who was a maid of his wife, who was actually a slave, taken captive from Israel's nation, who was brought here to work, to serve, and she did not have any other choice. And if you think carnally, if you think that she was in the state she was, she probably had every reason to wish all the evil to her master, just because she was taken by force. She was taken away from her family, and if someone would justify something, it would be that she actually had every right to maybe hate this family. But this is not how she was raised. This is not how she heard about God. She heard about his power. She heard about this prophet that she trusted and believed that he could heal her master from this incurable disease. And let's just imagine, what faith did she have to have? Let's just imagine, what if something went wrong? What if she sent her master to this prophet, and we read that they brought so many gifts? What if something didn't work out? She had this great faith that her master can be cured from the prophet by the power of God. And she did say that to her mistress. And perhaps this was maybe a last straw for Naaman. He went to his master, to the king, and he told him what the little girl said. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. We can see how much this king appreciated his servant, this captain. 6 talents of silver was 10 talents of silver. 1 talent is approximately a weight how much can one adult person carry, about 75 pounds. Let's imagine 750 pounds of silver, if the measurements are accurate. 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 raiments on top of it. He was ready to give a fortune away so his valuable servant would be cured. Only there was one thing that he didn't do right. He sent a Naaman to a wrong person. he sent him to a king of Israel, which, as we read, got really mad when he read the letter. He thought that this was something that was intended to spark the war. He thought this was something he knew that was impossible to do. He even said himself, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me the recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." This king got really upset. Perhaps he forgot that he has a prophet in his kingdom, perhaps not far from him, who heard this thing. And he was about to send the man back. When Elisha, the man of God, had heard that king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." There was a man of God, who could heal this man of leprosy. And he was ready to help him. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." We see, we can picture a servant of Elisha coming out and just telling this man of honor, this captain of the army, "Go and wash 7 times in a dirty river of Jordan." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." We see that thing that was said by Elisha, sending his messenger out and telling him what he needs to do, was not what Naaman expected. It was probably the last thing he was hoping to hear, or thinking that he will hear. He was expecting the prophet will come out, that he will pray to God, strike the spot, and recover him of his leprosy. But he was simply directed to go and wash. We can see that Naaman was really upset. He was so proud. He was ready to return back. He was ready to go home, mad that he did not get what he expected, or he did not hear what he expected to hear. Do we ever, dear ones, expect some kind of huge miracle in our lives? Do we expect that we are such person that we can't just simply obey and go wash in the dirty river of Jordan? Is our pride, is our expectation what we expect to hear or what we expect to happen going to turn us away from perhaps only way that we can be saved? Only way that we can be saved through Jesus Christ. We see that he was not ready to just obey. He was hurt. He was mad. He was really upset. And his pride was going to take him back where he came from. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned, went away in a rage, and his servants came near. His friends, perhaps his family, who cared for him? His servants who did not care about his pride, hurting his pride, they cared about his well-being. They knew why they came for. And the man of God was offering just that. Dear ones, let's listen to our family, let's listen to our friends, who we know mean well for us. Let's not listen to the friends who just want to be our friends for different reasons, who don't really care for our well-being, who care maybe more for our pride or how we feel. We have true friends all around us. We may not always hear what we want from them. We might not always get what we want. It might have to humble us listening to them sometimes. But these are the friends, these are the family we need to listen to. If Naaman didn't listen to his servants, he would go back home. And he would never be cured. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great things, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Very simple commandment. Very simple instructions. Go to the Jordan. Dip yourself 7 times, not more, not less, and you will be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We see a miracle. Naaman saw a miracle, something that was incurable. He just went into the river, dipped himself 7 times as he was told, and a miracle happened. A simple obedience, not questioning why is this way or why is that way. Why couldn't Abana and Pharpar be the rivers I would go and dip myself into? We see that when Naaman got upset and he turned back, he wasn't stopped by prophet or by his messenger. Okay, let's do it your way then. We cannot, dear ones, I forgot the word. We cannot try different ways than what this Bible, in this case, the man of God, the prophet, gave instruction. We cannot try to alter it. We cannot try to do it our way just because this is how we thought it was supposed to be done. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Naaman, I believe, was very satisfied with what happened. He was ready to reward this man who sent him, to dip himself in a dirty river Jordan. He was ready to give him a fortune. And I believe his heart was so happy. I believe that he was so grateful for what has happened that he really meant to reward this man. But he said, "As the Lord liveth," this is almost a sort of swearing on the part of, in a good sense of swearing, kind of confirming his truth. What he's saying is truth. "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. This was not Elisha's time to get rich. This was not time for Elisha to take anything from the Naaman. He knew that he did not do it with his power. He knew that this was the Lord's work. But even if as we heard this morning, that believers should be helping each other, and they were helping each other, meeting our needs. We see that Elisha had opportunity here. That he knew if he took anything would be very wrong. It was a reference to this verse this morning, Matthew chapter 10, number 8, verse 8, where Jesus was sending his disciples to the world. When he was telling him what to do, how to do it. Verse 8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." They were empowered. Elisha was empowered to do miracle. We are empowered, dear ones, in our walk with the Lord, that we can do a lot of miracles one for another. And we know we received it freely. We cannot be charging for our services in that sense. Disciples were instructed to take nothing with them, to have trust in the Lord that he will supply. And he did supply through other believers. All their needs were met when they went to spread the gospel. Everything that they need was met through the love of other believers, as we heard this morning. So, dear ones, if we find ourselves being a Naaman in this case, infected by leprosy, destined to suffer for the rest of our lives, would we go to one and only who can cure us? Would we expect, or would we obey what we're asked to do from this holy word, even if maybe we didn't expect to hear what we hear that we need to do? Are we ready to testify as the little girl? I'm sorry. Are we ready to testify of the truth that we know, to help those maybe who who in our eyes don't deserve anything good. But she still had that faith, that love in her heart, that she was ready to instruct, maybe risking her life, to instruct that her master could be cured. But there was only one way, if he went to the man of God. Are we ready to testify, or are we going to keep secrets? Are we ready to help those who are lost, who for their stubbornness or for their pride are not ready to see the reality that the way they are living, the way maybe they are trying, is only going to take them to eternal hell? Are we ready to turn them around? Are we ready to show them love and talk them into putting aside the pride and just obey the word of God? Are we ready, dear ones? To let the Lord work through us, that we would help, those who are lost, that we would convey the word of God or His power to each and one of those who need their help. Are we able? Are we willing to do it freely, dear ones? There are so many in this world. They are sharing gospel, and they are expected to be paid. Are we not rewarded enough? Didn't we receive enough from the Lord? The goodness, the mercy, and grace that we received from Him that we are willing to share with everyone, not in expectation to gain something back or receive anything that would maybe make my life easier in a carnal sense. Are we ready to be there for the Lord? Are we ready to be His hands, His feet, and His mouth? I believe each and every one of us can find ourselves in one of these few characters or persons that we read of. And I believe the Spirit is trying to teach us that what we do matters in our lives. We heard that if we help each other, the Lord will be glorified. And in this case, we read in verse 15, when Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." The mission was accomplished. God's name was glorified through a man who maybe didn't care about God before. Through a man who was beneficiary of the miracle of the God, almost went home, almost nothing happened. Two instances at least. When King refused him, when he tore his clothes, and when he got upset that he didn't hear what he wanted to hear or what he expected to hear. Let us, dear ones, learn from this chapter. Let us learn from what was happening and apply it in our lives. See where we are What is holding us back? To either go forward, get cured from the leprosy, or help those who are in need. May the Lord bless His word upon our hearts this afternoon. Amen.
In this portion of the chapter that we have read this afternoon, in these short 16 verses that we've read, there are many characters that we can focus on, many characters that we can ourselves identify with at times, as Brother Misha mentioned. We can focus on here Naaman, who's maybe the main character of this chapter. We can focus on his leprosy, his disease. We can identify with ourselves and our sin, how we can turn to no one but to the Lord to heal us of that disease that we have of sin. We can focus on the little maid who was brought out of the land of Israel, who heard from her youth of the Lord and His power to save, and her not doubting, not wavering at all. We can focus on the king of Israel and his lack of faith. Even though he was supposed to be a representative of God's people as the king of Israel, he had no faith, and rather he tore his clothes and thought that the Syrians were seeking a war against him. We can focus on Elisha, who was completely just as a maid, the little maid. Elisha was just as her, completely convinced that the Lord was able to heal Naaman of his leprosy. And God gives us these stories so we can identify with them. God doesn't necessarily give us these stories. He didn't leave behind these stories for us necessarily to memorize every little detail, to memorize the names of the rivers here of Damascus. But rather, God gives us these stories to identify with them, to see ourselves in these characters that were left behind for us. And Naaman, being the main character of this chapter, he had a problem with pride. He was ready to give wealth, great wealth, to receive a blessing, to receive healing. But the simple task of just dipping himself in a river 7 times was too much for him. It was too much for his pride to overcome. And that's why God has given us this example of Naaman, to see ourselves in Naaman, to see our own pride, and to know that God is able to humble anyone. We read the example of that in the book of Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar was, we read he was flourishing. He was flourishing in his palace, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built? I have built by my own power, by my own might, my own strength." And God was able to humble him. God was able to humble King Nebuchadnezzar, and he made him to eat grass with the oxen for 7 years. And after that time, after he was brought back to be as a human again, he said, "The Most High God reigns in the kingdom of men, and he giveth unto the kingdom whomsoever he will. He appointeth over that kingdom whomsoever he will. And all those that walk in pride," Nebuchadnezzar said, "God is able to humble. God is able to abase. God is able to break us. God is able to humble us. But it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to cause us separating ourselves from some friends that don't mean us well," as we heard in the message. So many friends mean us nothing but ill. They had nothing but bad thoughts for us. It's going to cause us to separate ourselves from those people. And it's going to cause us to draw ourselves unto God. And God says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Lord has nothing but good intentions for us. And He is able to break that pride that's within us. That's within each and every one of us. There's a pride within each and every one of us because we're all, in some sense, the same. We're all human. We all have pride. We all have the complete inability to see ourselves for how we truly are. But God is able to reveal that unto us. So let's see ourselves in this example of Naaman, and see how just a simple faith, a simple trust in God, a simple act, dipping, in Naaman's case, dipping himself 7 times in the River Jordan, was a simple act. And in our case, a simple childlike faith, like the faith of the little girl, the little maid that was brought out of Israel. That little faith, just that little bit of faith, as a grain of mustard seed, is able to save our souls forever. May God bless these words in our hearts this afternoon. Amen.